Most product teams think they're lean, but they're drowning in inefficiency. Do you know the eight hidden wastes that silently kill your progress? Oh, you don't like that one. What about this, family? What is the biggest reason your product is failing? Isn't your team, but the hidden waste in your process. In today's episode, we're going to address some of these hidden wastes. So I hope that you take a journey with me. And we jump right into the content. What is lean product development anyway? See, lean product development focuses on creating better products efficiency. Okay, now I know what you're thinking. Well, how is this aligned with agile? See, it's not agile, but it models some of the agile principles. Here's the core objective: deliver customer-defined value, implementing visual management tool, fostering continuing learning. There's seven core, and I do mean seven core concepts of the lean product development. Core number one, eliminate waste. Again, we talk about adding value. So focus on adding value activities, amplifying learning, using feedback loops and rapid experimentation. You know, family, let me park here parenthetically. I always talk about the importance of experimenting. I am learning this more and more in my life. But when I learn something, this is why I always say, when you learn something or hear something from me, please go experiment with it and see how it works. And whatever doesn't work, get rid of it. Just like this lean approach we're talking about here today, eliminating waste. All right, let's move on to the next one. Defer decisions, keeping options open to reduce work, deliver at a fast as possible, minimizing handoff and unnecessary delays, empowering the team. This is key. We forget, this is why I love Agile or even the Lightwork Scrum, the Scrum Lightwork framework. And the reason why is because we talk about the importance of self-organizing. We're encouraging the team to make decisions, to solve their problems together collectively as a team. And this is what we're talking about here in these core principles. Empower the team, encourage decision-making at all levels, build quality in, focus on quality and reliability from the start. Most of the time, what we'll do if we're leading a project, we'll wait until the end to try to solve, or we'll put it on our risk register and we'll just throw the risk register away. Okay, maybe I'm not talking to you. Maybe it's just some of the projects I've been a part of. No. This happens a lot of times where we get so caught up in moving forward that we don't stop real quick to solve the problem before the problem builds. All right, I'll get off my rant. Optimize the whole. Think systematically rather than in silos. And you guys know, if you've been paying attention, if you've been following me long enough, I can't stand silos. I don't even understand silos. I've been trying to figure out, I said, what value do you get in working in a silo type organization or in a silo type department? It builds no value versus if we collaborate together, we come together, I may have something that may benefit you while you have something that could benefit me. We can come together. It's just like almost anything that you think of. If we say, hey, we're putting together an event. Hey, Ed, you're going to bring the dessert. All right, John, you're going to bring the cold cuts. All right, Becky, you're going to bring the food. We're the warm food, whether it's, you know, lasagna or whatever that thing is, but we're coming together instead of placing it all on one person or all on one particular team. We're collaborating together. You can see I'm passionate about that. Thank you for your patience on that one. All right, examples of lean product development in action. So I just don't want to talk about it. I want to give you tangible examples. So let's look at TPS, Toyota Production System. They revolutionized the manufacturing by eliminating waste. Amazon, they use customer feedback loops to improve services. One thing about Amazon, I don't care what you think or how you feel about them, they are big on customer satisfaction. To the point, sometimes it gets scary because it's like, hey, did you have a good experience? How did they deliver your package? Was it intact? Did they put it where it was supposed to be put? Talk to us and tell me how we can get better. Even I remember Jeff Bezos in an interview talking about that. He said he's so obsessed with his customer. And a lot of times you have businesses out here that are not obsessed with their customer. Here comes story time. I remember I walked into this restaurant and I'm waiting, you know, at the little booth deal and to get waited. And so they finally come up and then they, you know, take us to our table and we sit there for another 10, 15 minutes. Now, knowing who I am, you know, now this gets interesting. It starts getting good to me. And I know what you're thinking, Ed, you're a little different. You know already that I'm a little different. I want to know so I can come back and create a story and tell you guys about it. Because see, in life, we have to live through things. And if we start wearing a different pair of glasses, we can be able to use what we go through. I'm saying something to somebody. We can use what we can go through to help somebody else out. So I'm sitting there and I'm waiting. Like I said, 10 minutes go by. So then they come back, finally come to us. How can I help you? And they just have such a bad attitude. And the attitude is, you just like, man, first of all, you waited to seat me. Second of all, by the time I sat down, you took another 10 or 15 minutes. You never checked to say, hey, did you want a water? Did you even just want a lemon or something? You know, it was just, you sat me down and you disappeared. And I could understand if you were busy. And when I mean busy, it was only one of you and you had all of these tables, but it was only like one or two people there, which made three of me being. And I said, no. But you know what I did? I still stayed. And I said, I'm one of those customers where when you ask me about the experience, I'm going to show you by never coming back again. Cause I vote with my wallet. Cause I can tell you, hey, this was a horrible experience and you may not do anything about it. So instead of just wasting my time, which is something I'll never get back, I'll just go ahead and never come back to your establishment because you didn't take the time to establish a rapport with me. So, all right, off my soapbox. But again, family, Amazon is so obsessed about their customer service, Google design sprints, quick decision-making, and rapid prototyping. Here's the 8 ways of lean. There's a mnemonic called downtime. Again, downtime, defects, work containing errors that require correction, like faulty documentation or bugs, overproduction, creating more than needed or producing low value work that wastes and resources. Number 3, waiting, process delays, from slow approvals, dependencies, or inefficiency workflows. Have you ever worked on something where you have to wait for an approval and the approval has to be via email? And then after you get the email sign off, you need to go put it in another system to prove that the approval was there. And by the time you go through all of this particular process, you like, are we ever going to be able to implement this? And I understand the compliance aspect because I worked in compliance for almost 4 to 5 years. So I get the integrity of ensuring we're documenting everything. But it gets to a point where there's so much over documentation. And you know the motto here, documentation beats what? Documentation beats conversation. But it gets to a point where if we've already provided you the basic and the most formal approvals, why do we have to sit and continue to wait for an additional set of approvals because you have something to prove? You have a pride inside. Okay, maybe I'm just talking about my life. We don't want to be honest out here. You know how that is. Well, you got to get a signature from this leader. And then you go to the next one. You got to get another signature. He's like, why can't we all get in a room, me present the information, everybody make a decision either to sign off or not, and then we move forward instead of going through these slow approvals and these slow dependencies. It impacts the workflow. Okay, non-utilized talent. I've seen this over and over again. Failing to leverage team members' expertise, experience, and problem-solving abilities. When you're on a team, the team brings different values. And a lot of times what happens is that we don't search out what that value is. We put them in a box and we say, you got to do it this way, instead of saying, hey, I'm just curious, what do you work on outside of work, or what are some things you're passionate about? See, a lot of times you wouldn't even know that I'm a speaker and I love being able to put together presentations and deliver to executive, but you never asked me when I first got started off in project management that I enjoy being in front. So when, you know, they say one of the most, I guess, fears is public speaking. And I love it. Like, give me a stage, and I promise you. And I wasn't that great, but I just love being able to do that. And I think a sense of that used to be because I would be a class clown. And what I didn't realize, what translated that made me feel comfortable being a class clown. And I don't ask you to subscribe to that. That was just my journey. But what the point of it was is that it made me feel uncomfortable where other people were comfortable. So I had no problem getting up there because what you gonna laugh at me? You guys been laughing at me. So let me deliver my presentation and feel really comfortable. So I would slide in jokes and I didn't know at that time I was working on myself. I was developing that confidence. I say all this to say this, family. It's important that we understand the talent that's around us, because if we don't, you'll mess around and have that talent leave and go somewhere else and have the success that they could have had with your organization. Number five, transportation, unnecessary movement of work data between people, teams, and system. Inventory access, accumulating unfinished work or excess project artifacts with no immediate benefits. Here we go. I got to give you this work here. I always share with you, I was leading this project. And someone said, hey, we need to have this artifact, and that artifact. And I was like, hey, I understand that those artifacts are important. I believe in having a WBS. I believe in creating a RACI. But for what we're doing in this small group, that those things will not be required, because we need to be self-organizing in a way where we all can be interchanging, because I may be working on this particular piece and I may need you to be able to pick up that piece, because I may need to go to a meeting and explain what we're doing while we're still keeping the production going, moving forward. And again, this is why I think people get caught up of what the PMBOK is, the Project Management Body of Knowledge is for. It's a standard guide, excuse me, to allow us to be able to tailor up or tailor down. And it states that in there, and everyone throws everything at a particular project. Oh, we need all of these artifacts. And then all of a sudden, we're so busy in all the artifact doing that we lose the opportunity. Oh, watch this, family. We lose our vision on what we're supposed to actually be accomplishing. So we must understand what artifacts make sense for what we're doing on this particular project. Okay, motion waste, contact switching between tasks, causing cognitive overload and reducing efficiency. I'll be honest with you, family. I've struggled with this personally. Like, I'll be quick to context switch. Okay, I'm writing on a book. I'm working on a book. And then I'm like, quick. Then I'm working on my CAPM course to deliver to you guys. Or I'm working on, you know, this thing. And I'm like, so I have all these open projects and nothing has been done. So it's just like, okay, you know what? So when I wrote the Magnetic Project Manager book, my mentor challenged me. He was like, hey, we need to get this done ASAP. Because you've been going back and forth and telling me the reason why this came up and that we need to get it done. And I appreciate him for that. Shout out to you, Phil. I appreciate him for that. I sat down that night. I had everything already laid out. And I've shared this story before. I had everything laid out already. And all I had to do was just put it together. So I just put everything together. And I realized, I sat there and I said, wow, what if I did this more and I repeated the same thing? So we must understand context switching between tasks can and will. I'm willing to bet, and you've probably been there before, where you said, okay, you know, I'm going to work on, I want to eat better. So I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to get these certain groceries. And then all of a sudden you start eating on something else but you got all the things that you need, but you switch. Okay. Maybe that wasn't a good example. Here's another one. You've got two projects you're leading, and instead of saying, okay, let me get this project up to a point where it's more self-sufficient and all I'm doing is circling back with the team, instead of just like, oh, I'm jumping back in between two different projects. Okay, last and final one, extra processing, redundant workflow steps, and excessive documentation or redoing work due to poor initial planning. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, that right there, family, is the mnemonic for downtime: defects, overproduction, waiting, non-utilized talent, transportation, inventory excess, motion waste, and extra processing. Let me give you some real world examples, because you know, I don't want to be that theory type channel here or that theory type podcast. I want to give you things that you can use today. I'll give you tonight to think it over that you can use in your job or in your personal life. Okay, let's look at defects. A project proposal with multiple errors requiring multiple revisions. Overproduction. Generating detailed reports that no one reads or uses. You know, I remember where we would put together this, this is when I was just starting out as a project man. I would put together this detailed project status report. And then I would go to a meeting and they'll ask me the questions that were already in the report. I'm like, did you guys get the report? And one day, one of my manager, and I think, see, when you have great leadership shows you your blind spots where a lot of times managers won't show you that because they're just there to manage. They're not there to lead. You do have to have a balance, but great leadership. This is why I'm always influenced and inspired by being around great leadership. And I do my best to invoke it. All right, back to what we're talking about. He pulled me to the side and said, listen, that's a great report. Like, it's amazing, but nobody's reading it. So what you're going to have to do is still create it, but be prepared to share it, be able to speak to it instead of just death by PowerPoint. Got the message. Next time, I didn't do all that. Next time I understood the project so thoroughly that I even used the PowerPoint. I said, what are your questions? Oh, where's the project at? We're on time, we're under budget, and our scope is definitely controlled and the quality of the project is moving perfectly. Are there any risks or impediments? Nope, we don't have anything. Oh, excuse me, yes, we did. We had one risk, but we looked at it and the risk, we have a solution to solve it. And then the next question was, is there anything you need from us? Nope, don't need anything currently right now. The team is moving forward and we're moving fast. Oh, okay, great update, Ed. Thank you. And I had to learn that, and it was at the beginning stages that forced me to do that. All right, waiting. A product launch delay due to lengthy stakeholder approvals. I'm not even going to take you down that path. Non-utilized talent. We talked about that before. A highly skilled developer spending time on a repetitive administrative task. I've seen this happen more and more. Instead of maybe bringing someone in to support that developer, you got this developer working on an admin task that could have been, we could have got a project coordinator or some type of business analyst to support that developer while they focused on the main thing. I always talk about keeping the main thing. You brought this developer on, not just because they could develop, but they were the best at what they did. And you got them working on the admin stuff. And you saying, well, I don't care how good your work is. If you didn't complete this document, it's like, well, can't you see he's having challenges with the document? Bring someone in to support him so he can do what he does best. All right, the next thing, transportation. So data being manually transferred between different software tools instead of being automated. Inventory excess, holding on to outdated project documents or producing work that is not needed. Motion waste. This is constantly shifting between projects. We talked about this, family, and reducing overall effectiveness. And the last one, extra processing, rewriting the same information multiple times due to the lack of centralized knowledge repository. That right there, family, spells again downtime. And I gave you real world examples of the lean waste product, lean versus agile, how they connect. So lean, they focus on eliminating waste and maximizing value. Agile focuses on the iterative and incremental development and adaptability. Overlap, both emphasize on customer value, continuous improvement. And one of my favorites, if you haven't been listening long enough, collaboration. Why lean product development matters. It reduces time to bring products from the concept to customer and enhances overall quality through built-in integrity. It improves team efficiency and my favorite, morale, through the empowerment, and then maximize satisfaction by focus on customer define value. Here's my recap and key takeaways. Lean product development helps deliver better products with less waste. We talked about the 7 core concepts, guide efficiency development. We talked about the 8 waste and the mnemonic, downtime, identifying and eliminating efficiencies. We also addressed the lean and agile, how they complement each other in the modern development. My call to action to you, family, apply lean principles. How can you apply lean principles to your work, to your personal life? What are you doing today that you like, you know what? I'm probably spending too much time over there. I'll give you an example. I sometimes, like I shared with you, I got multiple books that I've been working on, but I really need to focus on this CAPM course. I really need to build this out because I've seen there's some challenges out there. And I'm like, why won't I just go ahead and create this course? So I finally made that dedication. Number two, eliminating waste. What is one waste you can eliminate today? What are you doing? See, to me, waste is not just, I look at waste as distractions as well. So I had to get really focused. I had to focus and lock in. Hey, I would love to go watch the game. I'm a big basketball fan. I would love to watch March Madness right now when it comes on. I don't know if it's on. I know it's March. But I can't right now because I made a commitment through this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management and helping people, not just from the CAPM standpoint, but also coaching and personal transformation. So I ask you, what are you going to do today? And I'll give you tonight to think it over, but I need you to experiment what we talked about and take immediate action. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen. That just simply means it. Until next time.